Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo, the founder of Everything Coworking. So I'm going to start with the good news. I had the first Q&A call with the new Coworking Startup School cohort this week, and the group is amazing. We spent 2.5 hours getting to know each other and diving into our first round of live Q&A. So I just wanted to mention that in case you are thinking of starting a coworking space later in 2020, make sure you get on the waiting list so that you get notified when the next cohort opens up. You can go to coworkingstartupschool.com to opt in to get more information, www.coworkingstartupschool.com. So on to more serious topics. Today, I want to talk about the coronavirus and the risk of the virus to our coworking businesses. So we're going to get into some serious topics here. I have a blog post that goes with this podcast, so we'll link to that in the show notes. It'll also be the first blog post up on the website when you pop over there under the blog. So I want to help you think through how to get your business better prepared for the unexpected stress of the coronavirus. So I will tell you, first of all, I think there are many of you who are maybe not feeling the stress or pain quite yet. I encourage you to act as if it will come to you, because it likely will. My perspective, though, I will tell you, I am just south of San Francisco. We have, I think we're the second highest state in terms of number of cases. Our schools were closed yesterday. All local employers have mandated work from home. The streets are quiet. So it feels pretty serious here. And we have started to see our first wave of cancellations in our co-working space. So we are deep in it. And if you are not yet, I hope you'll listen to this and give some thought to preparing your business. So today I want to talk about kind of what's happening in markets with higher number of cases. What are the risks and what can we do to mitigate these risks? What can we do to keep our members safe? And what can we do to mitigate the economic impact? So as I said, you may still be in the camp of struggling to see the impact. You're shrugging off the sort of the media frenzy and having a laugh at people fighting in the aisles of Costco for hand sanitizer. But if you're not there yet, you are just likely in a geographic area that has not had many cases yet. So when I looked up the number of cases, this was the other day when I originally wrote the post. The last couple of days have been kind of crazy trying to get in front of how to respond to this. And in my GWA role, having phone calls, understanding what other operators are seeing and doing in order to give folks some good information and good guidance. So as of 2 days ago, we had about 200 confirmed cases in California, most of them in the Bay Area. And as I said, schools have now closed locally until mid-April, and lots of college campuses have closed around the country. So let's just start with, why is the coronavirus such a big deal? So in the blog post, there are some links that you might want to check out. CNBC reported on March 11th that Dr. Brian Monahan, the attending physician of Congress and the U.S. Supreme Court, said he expects 70 million to 150 million people in the United States will become infected with COVID-19. So choose to believe that stat or not, he is an authority in predicting that this is going to have a very serious impact. U.S. health officials say that the mortality rate is likely somewhere around 1%, making it at least 10 times as lethal as the flu. And roughly 80,000 people die each year of the flu, so the mortality rate is significant. And here's the issue. The coronavirus spreads easily and quickly. Research is still in its early stages, but some estimates suggest that each person with the new coronavirus could infect between 2 and 4 people without effective containment measures. So I'm sure you're starting to see this in the media. You know, the big discussion is around containment and our responsibility to participate in that. So I'm going to share in a little bit further in the episode what some operators are doing in terms of containment. Because the COVID-19 virus is so contagious and has a higher mortality rate than the flu, the rate at which it is spreading could overwhelm the local healthcare systems, preventing them from managing the mortality rate and handling other illnesses and emergencies. And I will tell you that before the last couple of days, I was very much in the camp of, this can't be such a big deal. I'm not sure, why are we seeing schools getting closed? Why are we seeing such a reaction? I was in the I don't really get it camp. And then I saw this, it's called, there's a flatten the curve hashtag with a graphic that shows the issue, that if so many people get impacted and need healthcare services, they will likely overwhelm the healthcare system in the short term. And so the healthcare system cannot treat all the people with the illness, and then they can't treat people with other illnesses and emergencies. If we can contain the spread, then we will flatten the curve, and the curve will fall under the capacity of the healthcare system, allowing the healthcare system to operate normally. So if we aren't in the mindset of containment, then the healthcare system could get overwhelmed. And that's the real issue. So the blog post has the flatten the curve link in it if you want to take a look at that. And the director of the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus a pandemic this week. And he asked the following of us. He says, first, prepare and be ready. Second, detect, protect, and treat. Third, reduce transmission. And fourth, innovate and learn. So I'm just going to walk through some discussion around how do we think about how we as co-working space operators respond to that framework. So how do we prepare and be ready? So first, again, I will suggest and ask, don't wait until the issue becomes local. Assume that virus cases will appear in your community and that you'll need a plan. And maybe they won't be as significant, but I'll tell you, we only have 200 cases. We may have more since I last looked and schools closed. So, folks are responding to the containment strategy with a low number of cases. Hope is not a strategy is one of my favorite quotes. You can hope that this won't become a problem. The challenge is it's not a problem until it is a problem, and then it's usually a big problem. And I think we saw that happen in many markets with cases this week, as we went from, unsure that this was really something to be wildly concerned about to, okay, this is a big deal, and the local economies are essentially shutting down. We'll tell you, I corresponded with a GWA member and an operator that I know in Seattle, and I was curious about how his business was faring and what he was seeing locally. And he shared some of his challenges and that schools had closed and that employers were mandating work from home. And he said he's already seen local businesses fail, restaurants fail that really rely on that consistent, lunch crowd, local crowd. He said he expected to lose 25% of his co-working members since schools were closed. So it's pretty significant. He had said he had long-term contracts on his offices, which in hindsight, I wish I had. I am often in that camp of let's offer as much flexibility as we can. We're a co-working space, but man, when you get to a situation like this, you wish that you had some of that risk mitigated with longer term agreements. So under the prepare and be ready category, create a business contingency plan. So Mike Morita, who is an operator, he's in Seattle. He shared a document that he used for his contingency planning. I've linked to it in the blog post. Use it as a checklist and work through it with your team or with a business mentor. Your team is likely nervous, so you may want to work on this with someone else who can support you from a business standpoint before you go to your team. But have some transparent discussions with your team, and we'll talk about team as we get a little bit further here. Here are some questions that I would ask that are specific to a co-working space. How do I create a safe environment for my members and my employees? How do I communicate policies and actions that help to create a safe environment? How can I provide my employees with the flexibility to stay home when they have cold or flu symptoms without totally disrupting my service levels? What are the protocols for asking members with symptoms to work at home? Many of us are communicating this over email, but make sure we're training our employees on those protocols and helping them feel comfortable following them. Think about how awkward it will be to walk up to someone and say, you seem like you're not feeling well. That concerns me. I would really prefer that you work from home. You need to get your team comfortable with having those slightly uncomfortable conversations, or not even getting them comfortable with it, but helping them realize it's just a fact of the role we need to play today. So also ask, what will trigger a significant business interruption? What might trigger members to give notice? I will tell you that school closures seem to do that for us today. What can we do to mitigate member losses? Can you create a membership hold policy so that you're keeping credit cards on file and creating a re-engagement campaign when it's safe for members to return? We did a call with several operators for the GWA the other day to get their input on their how they're handling things. And one operator said they have created vouchers. So for folks that are canceling because they want to work from home, they're saying, okay, let's do this. Please pay for the next month. And as you normally would, let the bill go through, but we will credit you a month later in the year. Now, the reason for this is assuming that the member is not under financial distress, but is just trying to get some flexibility to work from home. This helps your cash flow, because the problem that we run into, right, if all of our members give notice and we hold them to the 30 days or whatever it is, that next billing period becomes very painful because we have a lot less revenue coming in and we still need to pay rent. So brainstorm on some options that you may have to offer some flexibility to your members to acknowledge their concern and their request to work from home, but to help them understand what that impact could have for your business and help them understand in a tactful but potentially direct way that if everybody leaves at once, then there will be no co-working space for them to come back to when everybody is ready to get out of their house and things get more back to normal. Thinking through again, what might trigger a significant business interruption? What government mandated situations might require you to close? According to the New York Times on March 11th, 2020, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte of Italy ordered almost all businesses nationwide to close as infections and deaths from the new coronavirus continued to soar. So it could happen. This is another thing we kind of want to have earmuffs on and think that could never happen here, but never say never and think, what does that mean? If you face a significant business interruption, either your business is required to close or travel is restricted and your members put in cancellation notices, or you simply have no funnel of potential new members during this time of uncertainty. So some of you may be building your business and aren't quite yet to break even, and so this delays that further. What does this mean for your business? How will you make payroll? Will you be able to make rent? For how long? If the answer to the questions of making rent and payroll are no, what steps can you take? Can you reduce staff hours? Can you manage cash flow more effectively? Can you ask your team to stop spending money? I have done that. I said, Kristen, don't buy anything we don't need right now. And I've had longer discussions with her to help her make her feel comfortable about what's happening. And she's been a huge contributor to messaging with the community. So I don't say that lightly, but we did have that conversation. So don't wait until it's too long. Get in front of those expenditures. Can you get short-term financing from a bank, from investors, or friends and family? Do you have some source of financing that might help you get through a tough period? Do you need to sit down with your landlord and discuss a delayed rent arrangement? Will there be government support for struggling or failing small businesses? I've seen some support announced through the SBA. So we may see more of that. The problem is that will be on the back end when it may be too late. So you need to start having those conversations sooner rather than later. So under the second bucket of how do we detect, protect, and treat, as you're working on your contingency plan, there are immediate steps that you should consider for your co-working spaces. Many of you are already doing this, so I'm going to review them anyway for those that have not gotten to this point yet. Send frequent updates to your membership. Kevin Whelan, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, sent a great email yesterday. If you're not on his email list, I highly recommend it. You can go to everspaces.com and sign up. He sends just super great marketing emails a couple times a week, and he sent one yesterday using a metaphor about a stick. And he basically said one end of the stick is, you know, sort of the sort of freak out and get worried. And the other end of the stick is, you know, take responsibility and get in front of it and handle things in a controlled manner. And he said, you and your members can pick up one end of that stick, which, you know, if you pick up the, I'm probably getting this wrong. He's basically get in front of it, pick up the take responsibility stick, and your members will follow your lead, you know, versus letting them pick up the end of the stick that is, let's get super nervous because we haven't helped them feel comfortable that we acknowledge the situation and are taking steps to mitigate it. So send frequent updates to your membership. This may feel irritating, but if you're like me, you got 75 emails today from everybody's email list that you're on talking about the coronavirus and what they're doing to manage it. So send the emails. They should understand that you have the authority to implement unusual but necessary measures in times like these. Post signage for those who don't, you know, read your emails and need more reminders. Remind members how to thoroughly wash their hands, how to manage coughs and to mitigate germ spread. Communicate sick policies. So when employees and members should stay home. So both employees and members need to know that if they have symptoms, cold and flu symptoms, they should stay home. They should not come to work. And related to this, lots of operators reported on the call that we had earlier this week for the GWA that they were reducing staff. So some had cut their staff down from, you know, two folks to a location to one, and have communicated to their members that that is the case, and, you know, hoping their members kind of understand the lower level of service, and have extended employee sick time. So said, look, if you're sick, stay home, we'll pay you. We're doubling sick time to give employees ample room and comfort that they can stay home and still have a paycheck. Hopefully you are in a situation to do that. Not everybody is, but it's something that we've seen folks start to do. Ask your members to take responsibility for cleaning their own workstations. Know that many will not. They are humans and they err. So ask your team to take on the burden of the extra cleaning. You know, I was at the gym this morning and the gym is still open, but all the trainers, everybody's being very, very conscientious. It's amazing when you realize how many things you touch in a gym in a workout. So everybody's running around with paper towels and spray bottles, and the trainers who are, you know, doing one-on-one training or wiping down stretching mats and barbells. And it's a lot of work, but people are doing it and kind of, you know, contributing. But we've not seen quite that much participation in the workspace. I think people just, they forget, even with lots of visible signals. If you can get your hands on disinfectant wipes, you know, any sort of spray cleaner that you can have around, but ask your team to just take that responsibility because we don't want to rely on our members to do it and have it not get done. And provide the wipes and the sanitizers if you can get access to them. So how can we reduce transmission? Follow the procedures we just talked about in the previous section. Send employees and members home if they have symptoms. Ask them not to return until the symptoms are well behind them. And be prepared to close on short notice if you're mandated to do that. We hope we don't see that here, but I think we all need to be thinking about what does that look like if that happens. In the blog post version, I posted some Q&A from a law firm that addresses questions around, what do I do if one of my employees has a suspected case? What do I do if one of my clients has a suspected case? Et cetera. So, you know, sort of there's a workplace safety section that you want to look at. But one of our GWA members also said on our call the other day, she said, you know, I just kept like panicking about what would happen if a member got it or an employee got it. And she said, so I finally sat down and I wrote a procedure, and she researched what she would have to do. And I can't remember what the GWA will be sending out some details on this. The GWA, it's the Global Workspace Association, for those of you that are new and haven't heard me talk about this a million times. We are hosting a webinar on Wednesday the 18th with a couple of operators who have taken significant measures to reduce the impact at their sites, and a business coach to talk about kind of business mitigation. So we hope that you will join that. It's a good time to connect, get in the chat, talk to other operators, ask questions, You know, air your fears, talk about what other folks are doing. The idea is just to really share some best practices and what others, how others are approaching the situation. So if you're not on the GWA mailing list, go to the website. There's an opt-in form and we'll make sure you get the invite. I will also put the invite link in our Everything Coworking Facebook group. So I've mentioned a couple times this call we did earlier in the week, so I just thought I would mention a few things that other coworking space operators are doing. Everyone is posting signage, got, you know, disinfectant wipes where they can, like I mentioned, doubling sick time for employees, reducing staff. So some are really sort of taking the prevent the spread approach very seriously, closing space to new member tours, taking meeting rooms offline. We have done that now. Putting together a procedure for how they will disinfect the entire space if a case is reported. I mentioned that. And closing their kitchens. So we had a couple people say they have closed their kitchens. They're not serving coffee. They're not doing anything with dishes. They are only offering bottled water. Now, that's a pretty big signal, right? You're telling members, we really don't want you to be here when you take away the coffee. So, you know, you need to decide where you're going to sit on the spectrum and what's right for your business. But that is what's happening. I think some of it has to do with your team's comfort. We, you know, have talked through, we think there is some upside potential in renting out meeting rooms. Our meeting room demand did go up as folks were looking for places to meet because they couldn't go to their corporate office. But then you've got folks coming into the space that are not members, that are, you know, potentially bringing in new germs. These are really challenging decisions to make. We had some local college students reach out today and say, you know, they're alumni of a local high school. They're at home because their colleges have closed, and they asked for a donation of conference room space. And we still haven't decided how to approach that because obviously we'd love to support that, but now we've got, you know, other folks that are in the space. And I think one of the selling points to co-working spaces is it's not the Salesforce Tower with, you know, I don't know how many thousands of people go through that building every day. They can't clean all the doorknobs after everybody's gone through, right? In a co-working space, we can maintain a pretty clean environment if we are thoughtful about it. And if we have those procedures in place with our teams, we can wipe down conference rooms when people leave. We can wipe down doorknobs. We can wipe down, you know, the kitchen and work surfaces. And so we can maintain a pretty controlled environment. And unless you have a really large space, you are not seeing, you know, I don't 50 to 100 people in every day. So it's manageable, right? One other thing we've done, by the way, which just made me think, is we pulled some of our chairs from our co-working seating area. So the seating is a little less dense just to make people feel a little bit more comfortable. So I think over time, once we get through the immediate crisis, we have an environment that will be appealing to folks and that will be appealing to enterprise clients that are trying to keep folks out of really large workplaces where, you know, germ spread is just easier. So I think longer term, there's opportunity and this will kind of feed into the demand for flexibility, but we're going to go through some tough times, you know, in the next few weeks. And so, you know, be thinking and be prepared. And so this last section, how do we innovate and learn? If, you know, this pandemic doesn't impact your business, please consider filing this away as a situation that could happen. It's like a warning for unexpected challenges that could come your way. It's good to have a contingency plan in place no matter what, right? And we're totally guilty of that. Just, you know, riding sunshine and rainbows over here, did not have a contingency plan in place. We are absolutely working on that. You know, spend time preparing your business to withstand stress. Make sure you have cash reserves in the bank. Start to build those up as soon as you're able to do that after this passes for a rainy day. We try to keep 1 to 2 months of expenses on hand. So get a plan in place that allows you to do that. Research your insurance options. I think it's challenging to cover business disruption in this type of industry, but we're going to do some research on your behalf as well. Identify options for access to short-term financing and identify revenue options that are not dependent on your physical space. This is when those folks with strong virtual mail businesses are thankful for that. We are certainly offering virtual mail packages to anyone that departs. So to try to maintain a presence and certainly some paying membership, virtual community memberships, etc. So I'm going to end with that. There will likely be more. I'll try to be active in the Facebook group in posting updates and ideas from other operators. If you think that you are on top of the business mitigation and maybe have some creative strategies around how to manage canceled memberships, please send me an email. I'd love to share and help others learn. Jamie@everythingcoworking.com or pop into the Facebook group. The Everything Coworking Facebook group, easy to find if you search online, and share. We'd love to hear from you. So best wishes to everyone. Let's, you know, stay close and stay connected over the next few weeks and try to do the best to come out on the other side of this.